Philippians chapter number 4 and 2 verses, if you would. I'm going to begin verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Tonight I'm going to preach a message. I've given a simple title, "The High Cost of Anxiety." The High Cost of Anxiety. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the Lord, I thank you for the time that we can be together. Lord, I thank you for those who are here. Dear God, my prayer, Lord, my heart turns to those that that I believe should be here. Lord, I have to say this as a pastor. Those that I believe should be here, dear God, that would hear a message, Lord, such as this. Dear God, I pray that you would just put it upon their heart, that they would be that they would take an active role, dear Lord, in seeing their Christian walk increase, Lord, and seeing it flourish. Dear God, seeing the impact that we as individuals can make on the surrounding community, Lord, that we as a church can make in this area. Dear God, I pray that you would help us to see, as you've instructed us, to be careful for nothing. Lord, I pray you would help us to see what anxiety really will do in the heart and in the life of a believer. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Anxiety. It's a difficult thing to really put a qualification, I guess you could say, on. If you look it up, it will be defined as a vague, unpleasant emotion that is experienced in anticipation of some misfortune. I changed that a little bit, and I said that it is a vague and unpleasant emotion that is experienced in anticipation of perceived misfortune. Because we really, so many times in anxiety with that anxious, life, with that uneasy is it, definition, that unpleasant, that uneasy emotion. We can't really put an accurate description to it because we can't really put an accurate, point of beginning, origin, or a point of ending to it. It's a perceived misfortune that is coming our way. We think that maybe something isn't going to happen the way that we want. And we talked this morning, we joked a little bit about bosses. We joked a little bit about what it would be like to have an employer that would promise you the world and give you, you know, far, far less than that. And so we think about this, and we think about the fact that we would have a perception of what's going to happen, a perception of a misfortune, a perception perhaps where we're thinking, man, the company isn't doing well. I'm concerned whether I'm going to be laid off. The economy in our country isn't prosperous like it once was, even though unemployment has dropped to rock bottom low. It still doesn't seem to help our economy any. Amen. You can call it whatever you want. You can put whatever number you want on it. You can drop it by 2% and say it's fallen drastically by 2/100ths of a point, or 2/1000ths of a point. I don't see that as a drastic decline in unemployment, but it might be that you're uneasy about something like that. In studying about, just a quick study about anxiety. There are many different types of anxiety. There are social anxieties, feeling uneasy in a social setting. And each of these, I try to think about what would that be? How would that correspond to the church setting? How would that correspond to the house of God, to the family that we want to nurture, to the fellowship that we want to see thrive? How would that social anxiety settle in a church? Someone that would feel out of place, even though they maybe have come here for quite some time. Someone that feels out of place. Now you could label many different reasons as to why someone would feel uneasy in the house of God. Now, to me, that is one area that I could never imagine being uneasy. The house of God is one area that I could never imagine feeling uncomfortable going to, at least now. But I remember a time. I remember a time when I was in college, and I told you before, I didn't always do what I should have in college. I sure wish I would have. But I remember when I was there at University of Southern Colorado and USC. We used to call it University of Second Choice. You couldn't go to the one you wanted to, so you ended up going to USC. They had solid concrete buildings, and so we called it the University of Solid Concrete, too. So kind of funny, but when I was going to college there, and I knew I needed to be in church, and so I found this little independent Baptist church there in Pueblo, Colorado, and I started attending that church, but I never felt comfortable in that church. And I think I've detailed some of it before. I would go there and I was a single young man. I was a college age. They had a college and career age class. Could I have one of you guys close that back door, please? They had a college and career age. But I was never really accepted. I went to it and I got to know some of the people, but they really didn't seem to have an interest in knowing me. They didn't seem to take an interest. The college age themselves didn't seem to take an interest in getting to know me. The pastor himself, he knew me, but he really didn't seem to take a genuine interest in trying to find out anything about my life, what my background was, why I'm coming to church there, why I might have been at any given point. Never asked me questions that would kind of give him an understanding as to who I was and where I'd come from. And so I guess I can kind of put myself in that position, but that was so long ago, so many years ago, and I feel so comfortable anymore in a church. I love the house of God, but I understand that there are times where someone feels socially awkward, socially anxious in the church house. And I wonder at times what it is that causes that. Is it something about ourselves as a church that produces the air of we don't really want anyone to come in and burst our wonderful bubble. We don't want anyone to kind of infiltrate. We don't want someone with a little bit less class than we have. Maybe someone feels that they come into a church setting like this and no one really wants to interact with them. Perhaps they don't dress the way that we dress, or maybe they don't look the way that we look. And we've covered it all before, over and time again. I speak about these things because it's important that we see that people see us as a place where I can come and I can be loved. I don't want to have a social anxiety about the house of God, about Coastal Light Baptist Church. Amen. There are other different disorders, they call us, anxiety disorders. And there are a lot of reasons, there are a lot of symptoms to the anxiety that an individual would have. Sweaty palms and heart palpitations, and I don't know if I pronounced that right. All of these different things and things going through your mind. Well, anxiety. As we see here, the Bible says in verse number 6, be careful for nothing. And again, I've covered it before. That doesn't mean get in your car and drive like a maniac. You don't have to be careful. That's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying not for us not to be full of care about anything in this world. It goes on. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, anxiety will affect your heart physically. Anxiety affects your heart. But I cannot come to this passage without warning us and reminding us that anxiety, boy, it affects our spiritual life as well. That anxiety disorder, as it's described, can cripple, as it says, can cripple your life. It can cripple your life, having such high anxiety. I knew a young man a few years back that had an unbelievably, more so than anyone I had ever met, had an unbelievably high anxiety. And his heart, he felt as if he was having a heart attack when things of this nature would happen. And he could not overcome it. And he had gone to see the doctors about it, and they'd given him medication, and they worked with different parts of his life. And when he was going through that, it literally crippled his life. It affected everything around him, affected his job, affected his family, affected all of his social networking. Everything was affected by it. And so when we see here, and he talks about the peace of God, that which of course would be exactly opposite of anxiety, the peace of God is going to keep our hearts. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep our hearts and our minds. You know, if you're not careful with that high anxiety, with that anxious feeling, it's like you feel that you're losing your mind. Everything seems to be going completely awry. And it affects every part of our life. Seems the whole world seems to be anxious about something. And again, in studying and thinking and reading about anxiety, it detailed the fact that everyone goes through some measure of anxiety. You can't get through life. You can't get through life without having some measure of anxiety because you anticipate something. Again, that unpleasant emotion, that is a vague unpleasant emotion that is experienced in anticipation of a perceived misfortune. Seldom are you going to be anxious. The student that's getting ready to take a test. And it talked about in the medical description, talked about maybe being anxious about taking a test. The student that has studied and studied and studied and is quizzed, maybe mom or dad or maybe their college roommate, they've said, listen, will you give me a quiz? And I mean, you ace every quiz. You know the material up one side, down the other, front and back. That individual seldom is going to walk in with that high anxiety that I don't know the material. No, they walk in with the confidence. I know the material. I'm not anxious about this. I'm not nervous about this. I remember when I was in speech in college, I loved the class. I loved speech. I enjoyed getting up in front of people and giving a speech. You know, it makes sense now that I'm a pastor. But back then, I enjoyed it. It didn't bother me one bit. And I would sit next to my classmates and, oh, they would get so nervous. They would be so uneasy. And I'm like, what's going on? What's wrong? Today's the day. I've got to get up there. I've got to give my speech. And I'm like, oh, man, is that right? And those types of things, those never affected me. But again, that was something that I was, I guess, well prepared for. I had to get up one morning or one evening and give an extemporaneous speech. Had to give one off the top of my head. I didn't even know that it was my turn. The teacher called me and said, Meredith, it's your time. I'm like, is it really? All right, very good. And I got up and gave a speech off the top of my head. Now, that's what the extemporaneous was supposed to be. I was supposed to give one off the top of my head. And it didn't give me any problems. But yet, you walk into, you know, the next course maybe was accounting. Great. I've got a test in accounting. Are you serious? I don't even know. Man, you get nervous and you get sweaty. And I had an accounting teacher and he said, oh, I don't believe in calculators. You can't use a calculator. You just use that pencil and paper. I'm thinking, are you sad? What? I've got to add all of these numbers by hand. I can't do that. I'm not in second grade. I didn't learn it very well. That anxious feeling. But I believe that we have here in Philippians 4:6, a passage that teaches us not to be anxious. There's a high cost to anxiety. I believe also other passages, Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Now, anxiety is not an easy thing to be get rid of, or is not an easy thing to get rid of, but it can be done. It's not an easy thing, but it can be done, especially when we do it God's way. There's some things that I want you to notice about anxiety. Number one, if you write down something, write this down. Anxiety probably means you're not praying enough. When we look at verses 6 and 7, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That anxious feeling. Now, again, we could put it in, we could label it in any way that we want to. Maybe there's an anxious feeling about a family difficulty, a family problem that has come up. Maybe there's an anxious feeling again about the job situation. Maybe there's an anxious feeling. By the way, I believe me, I promise you this, as I'm studying, preparing, and praying for the message. All of these things are things that as a pastor, I have to be honest with you, open my heart to you tonight. As a pastor, all of these things I go through as far as the church and seeing God take a church and take that church off the ground and see the growth of the church, and then watch as a church goes through the difficulties of maybe a family moves away or this family is not active like they should be, and you see individuals making decisions that you could say, could I just make a decision for you here for just a moment? Could I make this decision for you? I know that something's before you and on your heart, but maybe you would just let me make that decision. And I'm not going to. I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, you don't need to make that decision. Let me make it for you. Now, there have been very rare occasions where I have looked across my desk to an individual and I've said, your decision maker is broken. If you would you allow me to help you make decisions? But I have yet to see anyone actually say yes and then go and follow through with that. Most people whose decision makers are broken, they have no idea. They don't understand the decisions that they're making. And so I'm not going to stand and say, let me make the decisions for you. I'm your pastor. You better listen to me. I'm not going to be that kind of a pastor. I never will be. Oh, but I can see sometimes the decisions that are made that as a pastor, I have this anxious feeling. I have the anxiety that begins to rise. And so I promise you, again, another message that I'm bringing, that if the auditorium was empty, I could still preach the message and have 100% response. Anxiety probably means you're not praying enough. Be careful for nothing. We're not to have that anxiety. But in everything by prayer and supplication. Oh, that we would be a people of prayer. Lord, I feel an uneasy feeling coming, Lord, and I don't know what to do. And dear God, this has happened and that has happened and this decision was made in the family's life and that decision was made. And Lord, I see as this happens and I see as that happens and I see as there is, it's rampant across our country. The attitude towards God as being second place, just like the gentleman that I spoke to yesterday, as he looked at me and he said, unfortunately, he said, "I know that it's not good, but God and the church has really taken second place in my life because the cares of the day." He didn't say it in that particular verbiage, but that's what he was saying. The cares of the day. There are so many things important that God and the house of God has come second place in my life. And he made the statement. He said, "I ask him if he goes to church. When he goes to church, and he said, I go when I can." The gentleman said, "I probably go 6 times a year." I'd have to say, well, I'm guessing that probably second place isn't even close. I'm thinking maybe God's going a little bit further down the list than second place. And so you meet people like that. And then you see the church house where you begin to watch people make decisions that takes them out of the clear teaching of the Word of God. Listen, everything that I have to say isn't to live and die for. I know that. That book is. That book is worth living and dying for. Amen. That Bible and the teaching, the scripture that helps us and strengthens us and supports us and yes, at times overwhelms us. You ever been overwhelmed by the Word of God? You ever been overwhelmed because you're reading a passage and you realize what God's expecting of you as His child, and you're overwhelmed because you know that you're not meeting those expectations? And so rather than continuing to be overwhelmed, continuing to be anxious about it, oh, the Bible would encourage us to go to God in prayer, because we're probably not praying enough. We're probably not spending enough time in prayer. Oh, would to God that we would decide, I'm going to spend more time in prayer because of the anxiety that has come in my life. It's a high cost. It's a high cost to me. It causes so many difficulties. It cripples my Christian life. I want to spend more time in prayer. The second thing I want you to write down, anxiety may mean that you're not thankful enough for what you have. It goes on there in verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How thankful are we for what God does give us? You see, we are anxious about something that is misfortune in our lives. We're not anxious about the fortune that comes our way. We're not anxious about the good things that come our way. We're anxious about the misfortune. We're anxious about the things that we desire, but we have not yet been able to get. Well, it may be that we're not thankful enough for what we have. You know, I think we can probably all say that we're guilty of that. I believe it as American citizens, we are guilty of that. Not thankful for what God has allowed us to have. Not thankful for the provision that He gives to us. Not thankful for the country that allows us so far, praise the Lord, to be able to stand and preach the Word of God. Not thankful for our family that supports us. You say, well, my family doesn't support me. Well, you've got a church family that does. Maybe we're not thankful enough for the house of God. Maybe we're not thankful enough for the Word of God. Boy, we went through it this morning. I believe God and I believe His Word. Maybe we're not thankful enough for it. Maybe as a young man, maybe as a young woman, we're not thankful for what God has really given to us. Maybe we're not thankful for the heritage that God has given to us. Maybe we're not thankful for the parents that has taught us and have trained us to do what's right. We're an unthankful generation. We're unthankful for what God has given to us. We don't seem to care because we think, well, it doesn't really matter anyway. It doesn't make any difference in my life. I can go on from here on without living for God and nothing will change. Everything will be the same. And if that's how we think, we're already in a poor, poor state of mind. Anxiety may mean that we're not thankful enough for what we have. We set aside the one day a year. We set aside that one day in November and we say we're thankful to God for everything we have. I read one time Thanksgiving, Americans are the only ones that set that one day aside every year to be thankful to God for what they have, and then every other day of the year grumble and complain about what they don't have. Oh, we need to be thankful for what God has allowed us to have. Number three, anxiety. This is a little bit longer. Write this down. Anxiety comes when you don't understand the things you want to understand. Anxiety comes when you don't understand the things you want to understand. Oh, we want to understand what God's doing in our lives. We want to understand what God is doing in our family. We want to understand what the decisions that our children are making. We want to understand the decisions that our friends, our relatives are making. We want to be able to make sense about what's going on at work. We want to make sense about so many things in life, and we don't understand them. And anxiety comes when we don't understand the things that we desperately want to understand. We can become anxious about it. It can become overwhelming in our lives. We want so badly to understand them. Go to verse number 11. In verse number 11, Paul, as he's writing, says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." I won't always understand everything that God's doing or allowing in my life. That song, "Many Things About Tomorrow, I Don't Seem to Understand." I don't know what God's doing always. The simple illustration of a little boy that looks up at grandma who's doing needlepoint and saying, "Grandma, what are you doing?" She says, "I'm making a beautiful picture." And over and over and over, he asks her the same thing. And until she takes him and puts him on her lap, and then he can see the picture from the top side, then he says, "Oh, Grandma, it is beautiful. All I've seen is that which is from the bottom side." We don't see everything that God is doing in our lives. We see it only from the top side. If we could see, if we were as God that inhabits eternity from beginning to end, the Alpha and Omega, He knows the beginning and the end. He lives at the same place at the same time. We would understand, but we don't have that ability. And we would see what God is doing, but you see, we don't have that ability. Sometimes God brings us through a situation that's going to be so difficult to us, but it strengthens us. It strengthens our lives. I've given the illustration before, out in the desert of, I believe it was Arizona, might have been New Mexico, but I believe it was in Arizona. They created that dome they called Biosphere back in the 70s, I think it was. Biosphere, and they put this huge, huge dome, and it was a large greenhouse, and they filled it with all kinds of different plants. I believe they had people living in there for a while as well, and they had trees that would grow just as any normal tree would, but they found out that those trees had no strength to them whatsoever because they were never tested by the wind. They never had wind on them. So they were allowed to grow without any kind of stress put on their lives, without any kind of difficulty put up, and they would snap when they would get too tall because of the fact that they had never had that stress put in their life. God allows us at times to go through stress in our lives to strengthen us. That's how we strengthen our muscles. That's how you build your biceps and your legs and all of those bodybuilders. They do it by stress. They push and push. Well, God does the same thing with us. But you see, when we don't understand what God is bringing us through, and we want so badly to understand it, anxiety creeps up in our heart. But there will be some things that we'll never understand on this side of heaven. Number four, I'm going to have you write down, you are only anxious over things you can't change. You're only anxious over the things that you cannot change. If you look at verse number 6 and 7 again, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So you see, there are things that we cannot change, so God gives us verse number 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." The things that we can't change, we dwell on it. We constantly go over it and over it and over it. That causes the anxiety. We're anxious over things that we can't change. I was told one time, if it needs to be changed, and you can change it, then change it. If it needs to change, but you can't change it, then don't worry about it. Difficult words to live by. But if it needs to change, and you can change it, then change it. Again, it's a difficult thing as a pastor. Things that you look at and you think this needs to change, and you have it could be the manager, it could be the owner of the company, it could be the daddy in the household, it could be the mama in the household. You see the situation, and you realize this needs to change, and you realize that you have the power to change it. But then comes the anxiety because You're concerned about what's going to happen when I do change it. How is it going to affect the individual that I'm asking to see this change in their life? How is it going to... And so we go back to number one. We have anxiety because we probably don't pray about it enough. We probably don't spend enough time in prayer and seeking God's face and seeking God's peace. Saying, "Lord, here's a situation that I know that I can change. It needs to change. And I have the ability. I have, Lord, in this decision, I have the power to change it. So, Lord, would you give me strength to do what needs to be done? Otherwise, it needs to change, but you have no bearing. You can't change it. There's nothing you can do." So then you pray again and you say, "Dear Lord, I can't change this. I believe it needs to change. Maybe it's something scriptural. You can see this needs to change, but I don't have the power to do it. So, Lord, will you allow me to get through it anyway? Will you allow me to have the strength to get through it?" Oh, you see, anxiety is caused by wrong thinking. That's why we get anxious. It's wrong thinking. Number five, anxiety will choke out your life. Go in your Bibles, go over to Matthew chapter number 13. In Matthew 13, we're given a parable here. It's given in other scripture as well, but we'll look at it here in chapter 13. In verse number 18, we read the parable of the sower. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower," verse 18, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside, but he that received the seed into stony places is the same that he that heareth the word and anon or immediately with joy received it. receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he that is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Oh, you see that the anxiety of the cares of this world, it literally chokes out our Christian life. As it said in the medical description of an anxiety disorder, it will cripple your life. It will do the same thing with our Christian life. It cripples our life. If we continue to live in that anxiety, if we continue to live going over and over and over and over it in our minds, things that we can't change, things that may not happen, but we're so concerned and we're so worried that it is going to happen. Again, I turn to myself and I say, as a pastor, there are so many things that run through my mind through the course of a week, and I'm concerned, and I fret about this, and I worry about that, and I thank the Lord for godly individuals that will give encouragement to your pastor. I thank the Lord for that, and I thank you for the prayers that you give. And would you beg God, dear Lord, please, would you let our pastor pray more about these, that he not have the anxiety that's running through his heart, because it'll cripple my life, it'll cripple your life. We allow it to choke out our Christian life. Number six, I'm going to write it, have you write it down. We'll be done. What are we to do with our anxiety? What are we to do with it? We all carry it to a measure. What are we supposed to do? Well, you could write down Psalms 27 verse 14 that says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, we've covered it before. We wait. We wait where we don't make a decision. We don't move. We say, Lord, I don't know what direction to go. Therefore, I'm going to wait. I am not going to move. I'm not going to make a decision for fear. Lord, I don't want to make the wrong decision. I want to wait until I know that it is clear that you're leading in that direction. But at the same time that we're waiting for God, we're over here, we're waiting on him, and we're saying, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to continue to do what I know is right. I'm going to continue to fulfill the obligations that I already have. I'm going to continue to hold that space, do my job as I'm supposed to do it, and I'll wait for your decision over here. I go back again to myself as the illustration when God started working on my heart to be a full-time, to be a pastor. I made the decision. This is what God wanted. And then I went through all kinds of difficulties. And I was still waiting on the Lord over there. I was still serving him. But I went through all kinds of things in my heart and in my life. And I came all the way full circle back to the point where I don't believe that God really actually ever called me to be a pastor. I remember walking down the street. I believe it was Lone Star Way that we ran right next to our street. That was perpendicular to it, and my wife and I, we used to go on nice walks. I asked her anymore. I said, would you like to go out on a walk down 61? She never wants to. Yeah, really, hang on. Here, honey, you walk by the street. Yeah. we used to, those cool evenings, wonderful evenings, no humidity. Praise the Lord, man. It was like about right now. This is that kind of weather. Hey, man, we used to go on walks, and I can remember walking down. We had just left the house and gone to the back lot of the house down here, and it kind of just kind of went down a gradual hill. And as we were walking, she asked me, and the words that I didn't ever want to hear her ask me. She said, and I don't even know if she remembers this or not. She said, "What do you think? Do you still think that the Lord wants you to be a pastor?" No, I don't think so. I don't know, hon. I think I was just foolish about that. I don't think that's what God wants. Man, I remember going all the way full circle from the point where I knew God wanted me to pastor to the point where it was a harebrained idea. No, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. I have no idea. I've never really asked her, man, what did that do to your heart? She wanted to marry a pastor so bad. I'm just teasing. But I tell you, I'm not teasing about the fact to make that full loop until finally God hit me upside the head. He realized, man, this guy's got a thick skull. He's got a thick skull. I'll hit him so hard, his head will turn side. And he did. And I said, all right, Lord, all right, now what? Now what? Now what? I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Man, I put an application. I heard about a church up in Bremerton, Washington. Gorgeous, gorgeous area. If you've ever been up there in Washington, just off of Seattle, across the Puget Sound, there's Port Orchard and Bremerton. Gorgeous, gorgeous area. And I thought, maybe that's where the Lord wants. And so I put an application in. I sent them a preaching tape that I had. And then I waited. And I still filled the role. I did what I was supposed to do for the Lord. I was over here and I was working and I was doing everything that I had been doing. And I'd make a phone call. And I called the gentleman and said, "Oh, have you made a decision yet?" And he goes, "Well, no, we haven't made a decision. We haven't really met about it. We still need to listen to your tape." I'm like, "All right." And I call about 2 months or, well, a month maybe later. I say, "Have you heard anything?" And he goes, "Well, one of the men that's key in making the decision on the steering committee, he's going to have an operation on his foot, and we won't get together for a while." And finally, I don't know, probably after 5 months, I decided, I guess they're not going to make any decisions. So I said, forget that. You know, I just moved on. But I was waiting, saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And for the better part of a year, I had no idea what was going to happen. "All right, Lord, maybe you want me to start a church." And so, "All right, Lord, boy, you placed on my heart a Crossroads Baptist Church in Natomas, California." Just the other day, there was Natomas was in the news. I don't know if you read about that. I forget what it was, but I had to read it. I was like, "Man, Natomas, that was right where I was going to start the church, Crossroads Baptist Church." Thought, "Lord, that's where you want me to be." And God just never opened the door, never opened the door to just swing open wide. And so I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting, saying, "All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll still continue to wait over there until you show me clearly what you want over here." Called up Randy Taylor, said, "Brother Taylor, I don't know what to do." He says, "I tell you, I heard about a little church and I've told you all before." And so God opened the doors. Listen, what are we to do with our anxiety? We're to wait on the Lord. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Philippians 4 verse 11, I already read, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Hebrews chapter 13 verse number 5 says, "Let your conversation, your lifestyle, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." 1 Peter 5, 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." See, the high cost of anxiety is the fact that it will cripple our Christian life. It will cripple us. As a church, if we allow anxiety, what are we going to do? How are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to fill an auditorium? Oh, how are we going to start another Sunday school class? How can we possibly start a bus route? All of these things, if we allow them, and folks, I'm speaking from my heart, if we allow them, they'll cripple our church. It will cripple our church. We need to say, "Dear Lord God, we want to bathe this in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for what you've given to us. Oh, we may not understand everything that you're allowing or everything that you're doing, but Lord, we want to just go ahead, change the things that we know we can, and be willing to let you control those that we can't change." Amen. So that we will not be choked out, and we will, according to Scripture, will handle our anxiety as God has already told us to do. I don't know tonight. I don't know what you might be anxious over. I don't know what might be so high in your life as far as anxiety that it is crippling you. I have no idea. But you know, and the Holy Spirit knows, and He's already targeted it. What will you do with your anxiety now? What will you do with your anxiety? How many of us will allow God to control our lives to the point where we say, "Dear Lord, I'm going to cast my care upon you. I know you care for me already." Boy, let's do the right thing with our anxiety. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, please, tonight I pray you would meet with the Lord, I pray that you would just use this, dear God. A message is simply, Lord, about the feelings that, Lord, things that seem to be out of control, things that we would like to see, but dear Lord, you control them. Lord, I pray that we would be appropriate. Oh, Lord, I pray that our prayer lives would increase. I pray that our thanksgiving would increase. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to say, "There are some things that I don't understand. I will let you control them. And Lord, there are some things that I can change. And so I'll change what I know that I can, and I will leave the rest up to you." Lord, please, I pray that you would help us to do what's right. I don't want us to see a church be crippled by anxiety. Lord, I certainly don't want to see families. Lord, I don't want to see individuals that will be crippled because they have the wrong thought process, thinking too much about those things that we don't even know whether they're going to come about or not. Lord, please help us as a church. Help us as families. Lord, as individuals, to give these cares to you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.